Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
A what?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Welcome to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Y'all, it is season 5 and we are premiering with the delicious Monet Exchange. Now, as you know, we are on Spotify, we are on Apple Podcasts, but new this season, we're on YouTube, full video episode. So subscribe on YouTube if you would like to catch us there. And you can go to the Patreon for more bonus episodes, including Gay Ass Sex. The Sex Diaries at patreon.com/gayasspodcast. Before we get into the episode with the delicious Monet Exchange, here are 3 gay tips with Rude Polaroids.
3 gay tips!
Woo! Hey, I'm Ryan Rudowitz, and here's 3 gay tips on how to take better nudes. Number 1 is lighting. You never want to be backlit. Natural light is your best friend.
Number 2, know your angles. And get off the toilet. No one wants to see that.
Number 3, have someone else take it. Hire a professional or ask your best Judy. And those are your 3 gay tips. Back to you, Eric.
3 gay tips!
Woo! Thanks, Ryan. And now, you know her from Drag Race, you know her from Sibling Rivalry, and you know her fat ass on Instagram. You can also catch her in the upcoming Dropout TV's Monet Slumber Party. Y'all, enjoy this interview with Monet Exchange. Monet Exchange is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Monet, yes. Category is Gay Ass Slumber Party, and I'm so glad we get to giggle and gossip. How are you, queen?
Good, darling. How are you doing? Where are you calling from? What calling from? Where do you live?
I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, same.
So we're living a bit of a late morning moment, and yeah. we're gonna make this a morning sleepover. Let's pretend that it is a nighttime gab sesh. We go to the pantry. Monet, what's your sleepover snack of choix? Are we going sweet or save?
Oh, I will go sweet and savory because I love the Trader Joe's almond butter pretzel thingies. Not the peanut ones, the almond butter ones are the real tea. That's where you're going to find the fantasy.
That's where you're going to find the fantasy. And the Trader Joe's.
It really is. They're so good. I eat the entire bag, and they're not, it's like 14 servings in it. I will eat it all in one sitting.
You never look at the serving count on
dessert. I know, but I'm in my fitness era, so I do have to look at it.
I have been saying that, Monet. Well, listen, no matter what you're eating, the fantasy is alive, the body is bodying. And since we are talking serving talk, do you see the crumble cookie videos? People are, they're always like, here are the top 6 crumble cookies, and they're tasting all of them.
Girl, and that shit, because each crumble cookie has like 10,000 calories. It's insane.
4 servings per cookie. And so one person showed the nutritional value of each one when they were doing their thing. And like, I was pausing that fucking video because I was like, and I'm not a calorie counter, but if every week you're
4 servings in one cookie?
Yeah, that to me is a criminal offense.
Well, first of all, it should be illegal to make something like that. Like, why are you even allowed to make that? Like, why is that allowed? I follow this guy. He breaks down like the sugar and stuff. And in a bottle of Sweet Baby Ray's, it's like 69 cubes of sugar. And I was like, Jesus Christ! Half of the bottle of sugar.
Is that barbecue sauce?
The barbecue sauce, and it's so good. But I mean, we see why, because it's all sugar.
It's half cocaine. It's also it's also like when you think about
the big food industry. No wonder why we're all like getting crazy fucking cancers and diseases. Because I'm just trying to have a Ben and Jerry pint, and next thing you tell me is 28 servings. One spoon is one serving.
Although Ben and Jerry, at least they are activists. At least they're out here fighting for our rights. I went
for the wrong Jews, and as a Jew, I'm allowed to say that. And I'm so sorry to Ben and Jer Bear. Thank you for your service. Keep on keeping Vermont lesbianic. But I just want to tell you, Monet, that I've been doing this podcast for a minute, and you have been a guest on the Dream List. And I just want to acknowledge the fact that you are here, and I am such an fan, and I'm so gateful for you to be here.
I love how gay you are. You just, I'm such an fan. I love it. It just all the faggotry rolls out of your mouth, and I wish I had the same ability. It's still fierce. I'm obsessed.
I will accept the compliment, but also tell you that you are one walking asshole, and I think you are very much I think you are very much the faggotrini. But let's get into Monet's slumber party. I want to tell you that it's as if someone went into my gay brain and created a stunning hang. Because let's just go through the guest list that I know about. Adam Rippon is on it. Rachel Bloom, Joel Kim Boost, who has been on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Other gay ass podcast guests, Meatball, Atsuko Katsuka, Roz Hernandez. Of course, we have Bob, Alaska, Jujubee, Kimchi. I mean, it is so fucking smart to create a show that's like, what, talk show? You have a quote that says it's like Pee-wee's Playhouse meets Graham Norton meets was this something that you was it a dream, Tina, to actually jump on the set?
Yeah. Dream Tina. So we did Dungeons and Dragons with them, which was amazing. Love doing it with them. And Dropout is just a dope company to work for. Full disclosure, because the Dungeons and Drag Queens were so successful, and this never happens, right? They, at the end of the year last year, they sent an email and around Christmas time, they're like, hey, just because of how successful Dungeons and Drag Queens were, we want to do a rev share of the money that we've made from the thing. I was like, what?
And rev share is giving its revenue.
Yes, revenue, giving us, splitting the revenue of the thing that made to go like directly to our pockets. I was like, never in my fat gay life have I ever worked with a company that was so generous and so kind in how they do business and so transparent. So that was like the thing. I'm like, I want to work more with these people in some capacity. So I hit them up. I was like, hey, so I used to have a really fierce talk show, The Exchange Rate. And maybe we can like figure out a way to like do a version of it on your platform. And they're like, we don't really do talk shows, but maybe we can think about something else. So we like brainstormed and we had meetings and back and forth. And we ended up collaborating, coming up with this idea of Monet's Slumber Party. And it's just so fun. And yeah, that's how it all came to be.
Well, it's a genius idea, because the fact that you've had these teasers where like everybody has their own entrance line. Jujubee comes on and she's like, protect average drag. It's so fucking stupid. Wait, because I'm what some people call stupid in terms of business, can you tell me like the timeline of, okay, you said, hey girlies, I had this old show. What was the timeline from the time you first had the meetings to like you being able to make the show happen?
Great question. So I think I sent, and that's kind of how my talk show happened as well. I did a thing with the Build Network, mm-hmm. and I just guessed it on one of their episodes, on one of their shows. And I was like, and I went to the vice president there, her name was Suzanne Lindbergh, and I was like, I'm going to do a show here. And she was like, really? And I was like, yes. And I was like, actually. And she's like, here's my card. She's like, send me an email of what you're thinking. And I sent that night. I went home and like feverishly like typed out this like vision of what I thought my talk show would look like on the network. And like the next day she was like, let's do it. And then so that's how my show happened. So anytime these like big opportunities happen, the through line is me like taking the initiative and making it happen for myself. So anyone out there who is like, I want to do this thing, but bitch, take the initiative and just do it. Like make it happen for yourself, because you cannot wait for people to make it happen for you. So that was, so with them, with Dropout, I think I sent that email like around, like I want to say like May 22. Mm-hmm. And then like the summer was really busy and everything was going on. No, with, no, May 23. I'm sorry, May 23. What am I talking about? May 23. And then so we were like talking throughout the summer, and then we filmed this show March 24. So about 9 months it took to kind of
it's pretty relatively fast when you think it about is. How it there is, was no sure. show. But I do think it's also a huge piece of advice that I need to listen to also, which is like the initiative, especially when you're a queer person who's wanting to tell queer stories. It's not like someone's going to knock on your door and be like, hey, exactly. baby, do you want to have this gay ass slumber party show? I think it's the same thing with this podcast. It's the same thing with anything. It's like, that's why I also really respect you and Bob and everything that you have done just as an artist, to have your own opportunities as a drag artist, a music artist, opera singer. It's like you are not just sitting on a couch waiting to make the world gayer, honey. You're spreading the sprinkles.
I am spreading the sprinkles, the rainbows, all of it. Because you got to. Because also, I mean, you know, like there's so many people trying to get their piece of the pie. So you had, and you know, if you wait for your piece to come, it'll never come. So you just got to go out there and make it happen for yourself.
And listen, the pie has as many servings as we say it does, hun. Now, you also referenced in that quote about how it's like Pee-wee's Playhouse. It's like Graham Norton's talk show. You also said it meets One Girl, Five Gays. And when I read this quote, my brain exploded, because if anybody listening doesn't remember, this was a MTV Canada show called One Girl, Five Gays. There was obviously one girl, turns out five gays, and it was always like they started with like 20 questions about love and sex.
Exactly.
And I had just come out in the year of our Lord 2008, and so when this show, it was a very formative early time in my gay personhood. Mm-hmm. And I mean it opened my eyes to a lot of the realities of like queer people talking about, obviously, their relationship to their bodies, to sex. There was many different types of bodies. So that reference really struck with me. But I want to give you, Monet Exchange, the floor on this gay podcast. Do you have any hot takes on sex that you would like to share?
That sex shouldn't last for more than 12 to 15 minutes. I don't need to be sitting there for 45 minutes of you just going to town back there. I'm like, girl, I will need to eat. I want to sleep. So I think that 12 to 15 minutes is more than enough, okay? It is more than enough sex. I do not need more than that. I don't need more than that.
Does that apply to just one-on-one, or would 12 to 15 be a threesome as well?
A threesome, girl, we can knock, because if a threesome, multiple things are happening at one time, we can truncate the time even more. A threesome, we're looking at maybe like 10 minutes.
The more people, the less minutes.
Exactly. Because everyone's doing something. Everyone is busy.
An orgy is about, what, 45 seconds?
45 seconds.
And then we're putting on Little Mermaid.
Exactly.
And then we're eating our Trader Joe's snacks. Yeah.
Yes, that's what we really want to do. That's my hot take of sex.
I don't disagree. I think that when people talk about, I want to have a fucking marathon, get real, I'm like, do you think my hole can withstand more than 15 minutes? I mean,
right.
I aspire to be like an Olympian and be able to have the stamina to do more. But also, do I want that stamina? Do I?
You know? And it's always the tops that are being like, yeah, I'm going to fuck you all night. I'm like, who are you fucking all night? I don't, not me.
They need to talk to their fucking doctor about the Lexapro prescription that is making them take 4 hours.
Uh-huh. All them damn, because you popping over to my place and you done shot your dick up with all the things. So now you have a 9 hour boner. So now I have to pay for that. Why, bitch? You better use Mother Nature so that it will inflate and deflate naturally.
This is not Liam Neeson's Taken, honey. My hole is not hostage.
I'm like, get that thing out of here. I don't need that just for going. Like, we have come, like, there's so many, everyone is on all these dick pills, and these, even the ones that the needle one is called like a Trimex or something, that dudes like inject into their dick to like stay hard for hours.
How far it's we have strayed from God's light. I just am disappointed in us. The only thing I'm going to say in appreciation of Lexapro is, vulnerable moment, but I used to be very self-conscious that I was not able to get to the full 12 to 15. And since I've been on 10 milligrams of Lexapro, it actually times it out perfectly. So shout out to 10 milligrams. Shout out. If anybody is feeling like they are a little anxious and busting too fast, get on an SSRI, but a low dosage.
Well, you know, I think, girl, I'm the opposite. Bitch, a gentle breeze comes by and I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go. So I need an anti-Lexapro, something.
Well, yeah, maybe you'll just have a Skittle and give it up to God.
A Skittle.
Girlinas, we're more than halfway through the year, and I know you have some New Year's resolutions. You have not tooched. But if learning a new language is one of your resolutions, honey, you gotta go to Babbel. Here's why I'm obsessed. I'm a self-diagnosed ADHD girl. No, a doctor has not confirmed, but babe, the proof is in the pudding. Babbel has 10-minute lessons that are quick and handcrafted by over 200 language experts. So with my short attention span, honey, it's perfect. Also, it prepares you to not just learn the language, but actually have real conversations. When I go to España, Barcelona to be specific, I'm not just going to learn how to say, where is the bathroom? I'm going to learn how to ask a Barcelona man to make out. I'm going to learn how to ask for directions, order at a restaurante, okay? But don't just take my word for it. There are studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and beyond that proves Babbel works, which is why I'm so excited to give you a special limited time deal for the gay ass listeners. You can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, and it's only for our listeners at babbel.com/gayass. That's right, up to 60% off at babbel.com/gayass, spelled babbel.com/gayass. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I do have to say that you're on That's a Gay Ass Podcast, Monet, and that means we have to ask the famous podcast question. So, Monet Exchange, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
Whose fault is it that I'm gay? I think we have Hercules, the animated Disney movie, to thank for me for being gay. I was upset. And not even when he became Hercules, like the older, like the middle one, the one where he's like
Twink?
Learning. Yeah, the twink before he's the adult. Twink Hercules. I thought he was so adorable. He was singing that little song, I will find my way. I was like, I'll find you too, baby.
I'll find you. Like, yeah, I'll find your way is right
here.
Yeah.
So I was obsessed with that movie. I mean, I think all the muses were just so good. Lilias White up there being the head muse. Just like, it is such a, how are we not made that a live action yet? And like,
well,
they have apparently.
Here's what I have heard, and I'm sure there's going to be a fag listening to be like the exact dates of the productions. But there was in the Delacorte, the Public Theater did a production, Shakespeare in the Park in New York. There was another production like regionally. There was a video of like some European country that was not English giving the muses during the curtain call. Look it up. It's on TikTok. There, it's like the muses sound so incredible. And even just the curtain call was everything a gay boy would like. All this being said, it's not on Broadway yet. I'm sure Nathaniel listening, our amazing new gay ass producer, is probably right now like knows every single production. But no, there, I think the live action Hercules theater moment is happening, but we do need, who are we casting as Hercules in the movie live action?
I think it has to be an unnamed. There's no one right now because they'll try to do some dumb shit and put like Shawn Mendes or some bullshit. I'm gonna be like, no.
And then the gay rumors will really be swirling. I think that Hercules absolutely made a lot of us gay, because when you combine a twink that can lift a car / building, but also Lilias White plus twink equals
girl. So good. Also Zeus could get it too.
Zeus's daddy
down.
And then Hades is camp as well.
Hades is very camp. He's one of the few Disney villains though that's not gay, you know what I mean? Like, you have the gay ones, like the gay is like,
is he
like,
not
he's not Zeus is not gay. Zeus gives me very much a straight, weird, white uncle.
Oh, you know what I mean? Sorry. I thought I was picturing that you said Hades. I think Hades is gay. I think Zeus is fucking pussy.
Oh wait, did I say Zeus? I meant Hades. Blue hair. He doesn't give me gay. You think he's gay?
Well, I think when I see blue hair and long finger, there's a lot of fingerography, and I don't know many straight men who are comfortable using their wrists.
But I mean, not gay as Jafar. Jafar is like Aladdin. You know what I mean? The no, entire
Jafar's
movie
in drag. Jafar's in Jafar's drag. Jafar's
scar is like a meh. You know what I mean? Scar is so gay, but Hades wasn't giving me gay.
Which we support him. He can just be an evil straight man, and it's just like all the other ones. Are you? So when we go back to Monet as a young gay obsessing over twink Hercules, you obviously were a theater girl, yes? I mean, you don't get that voice by not doing theater.
You know, I was not a theater girly. I was in the Songs of Solomon Inspirational Ensemble from ninth grade until 12th grade. And that was more, we sang more like, you know, like Josh Groban and lots of like spirituals and anthems and stuff like that. So a lot of us were gay, but I wasn't a theater gay. I went to a performing arts high school, and vocal was one thing and MT mm-hmm. was one thing. So you had to choose one or the other, and I chose vocal. So I didn't.
Did they allow you to sing anything outside of the opera canon, or were you strictly going Caro Mio Ben, bitch?
It was a lot of classical stuff and a lot of inspirational stuff. So it would be like very like, you know, Andrea Bocelli's Celine Dion kind of vibes. You know what I mean? Very that.
Well, I'll have you know that one of my gay historic timeline moments in my life is the first concert I ever went to was Josh Groban with my mother. So shout out to JG.
Is he still around?
Yeah, he's still around. He was just in Sweeney Todd on Broadway as Sweeney. I I don't know what else he's doing, but I'm assuming that you meant you would sing probably
You Raise Me Up.
Yeah, You Raise Me Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I love Josh Groban. Also, has anyone ever told you, you look like the hot dad from Inside Out?
I'm sorry, I'm breathing it in for a second. I need to, whenever someone like Money Exchange says that, I need to not take it for granted. Here's the deal. It has been said to me once or twice when I did mm-hmm. Sloppy Seconds with Dipper and Meatball. There were a mm-hmm. couple comments and, Do you see all the fucking porno dad from Inside Out like pictures that people post on Twitter?
No.
I wish I could pull it up so fast. I won't be able to, but the other day I almost screenshot, but I was like, there's nowhere I can post this. It's the dad from Inside Out grabbing his rock hard cock. And it's the most graphic. I mean, it's hot, but well, the fact that you also said the hot dad from Inside Out makes me feel good. So God bless you for saying that. Are you finding yourself, if you had a choice between only fucking human beings or cartoons, what would you choose?
Cartoons. Cartoons are perfect.
I can tell.
Cartoons are perfect. I mean, I wish that Who Framed Roger Rabbit was a real thing where our two worlds could really intertwine. Like,
oh my God.
Girl, I would probably only date toons. Like, they're literally, they drawn perfectly. Like, what? There's nothing.
The only woman I ever actually wanted to go balls deep in was from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
She was the big breasted.
Yes.
Oh, boop, 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 boop.
Yes. Yes.
She was so hot. I guess I like human women. I can't get it up for, but honey, if she has a painted red dress on.
You know what? I would like, I don't think that I would like to be able to be into vagina, but I just don't think I'm good at it. I don't think I'll be good at it. I don't think I can. But I would definitely make out with a woman. I've never been presented with the opportunity. Have you ever made out with a girl?
I have a really, you know, not a great moment of that. I was a freshman in college. It was my birthday. We went to a gay bar that was 18 and up. It was called Rush in the East Village of New York. Shout out. She has since passed.
Wait, are you a born and raised New Yorker?
I'm not, but I lived there for 13 years. So
okay. Right out of college. Where did you go to college?
So I went to NYU for college. And then
I went to NYU, honey. Just casually.
I try to say casual so I avoid that reaction.
Well, you probably went to NYU around the same time as my partner.
When was he there?
He's
68 years old.
No. What he was there around the same time.
I was there 2008 to 2012 was my NYU days.
Yeah, he was there around 2008, 2009, and then he went switch. He was in the experimental theater department.
Stop it. What's his name?
Andy Short. He knew like Jenny Jaffe.
And all those
girlies.
Oh yeah, no, we were definitely there at the same time. That is so funny. Well, you know I'm gonna be like fully blowing up his Instagram now.
Oh my god, please.
Oh, Andy. y'all are a hot couple.
Oh, thank you.
God damn. So freshman year at Rush, I was of course there with like a couple gay friends, but then mostly straight people went with me. And these two girls were like, let's make out. Cut to me doing a three-way kiss with two women I did not want to kiss. And
Word. And
they were like sloppy joes with the tongue. It was very like...
Too much tongue is too much.
Especially when it's girls that you're not wanting to kiss. So I, you know, since then I've sort of leaned away
from that idea. Yeah.
Yeah, recoiled from a girl kiss. But I do know a lot of gay people that enjoy just kissing. I mean, there's just something about kissing a guy to me that is so... I actually just talked about this on the Patreon. I tend to get a little more openly slutty there. And I talked about I was in Seattle and made out with this guy. Don't worry, my husband knows about it. And it was just so fucking delicious. And when I compare that to kissing a type of person that I'm not super into, I'm like, why bother?
Yeah, I mean, kissing, honestly, we're talking about the 12 to 15 minutes. We can exclude kissing out of that because I can make out for a while before we even get to the thing. I am very big into foreplay. So when I say sex, I mean, I am excluding like the foreplay things. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like foreplay, I think can go on a longer. Like foreplay is to me the best part of sex. The penetration, I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. Stick it in, girl. I'll stick it in, whatever. But the foreplay, I think, is way better than sex. And I think foreplay in the past couple of years has really been underrated because nowadays, all these little kids are here, all they want to do is just be topped or bottom. Like no one wants to do the foreplay anymore.
No, side representation matters.
Yes.
I think that sides deserve more respect, more glory, and I think we should sort of romanticize side dumb. Sides are they're good at the Listen, if you love That's a Gay Ass Podcast, there's like a 94% chance you love the Golden Girls. I know that I do, and I'm so excited to tell you about the Golden Girls Deep Dive Podcast. It's a new podcast that you will absolutely adore. It's not only a recap podcast that goes into like your favorite episodes of the Golden Girls. There is a twist involving true crime. I'm not joking. They have like a full-time researcher that looks into trivia, behind-the-scenes stuff, and they dive deep. I don't know if you remember in the pilot episode, there's Coco the gay chef. Like, where did he go? You will get that answer with this wackadoo true crimey ending on the Golden Girls Deep Dive podcast. There was also all that crazy stuff about Bea Arthur and Betty White hating each other. They dive into that. They also dive into like the 30 years of unpaid community theater acting gigs that Estelle Getty did before booking Sophia. The Golden Girls Deep Dive podcast, they de-live her. And finally, the hosts are killing it. Patrick Hines has been in the game for years. He is so funny. He hosts True Crime Obsessed, The Goat. He also hosts it with Jennifer Simard. Y'all, Broadway legend, are you not gagged? Go listen to the Golden Girls Deep Dive podcast. They already have hundreds of five-star reviews. They've topped the charts, and you deserve. Grab that cheesecake, head to the Lanai, and go follow the Golden Girls Deep Dive podcast wherever you listen. You played a role in an opera at the Minnesota Opera that has been also played by girlies by the name of B. Arthur, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Kathleen Turner. Now, traditionally, this role is not a singing role, but of course, Mama Monet sang. And we're talking about the Duchess of Crackenthorpe and the daughter of the regiment. Come on, bitch. Let's get into, was this something that you receive an email? They say, we want you to be the Crackenthorpe Duchess. And you said, what'd you call me? Or did you know, or did you know about this and you were like down to clown immediately? What was the journey to getting into that?
Traditionally in opera, this one role in this in this production is always it's a non-speaking role. So when they came at me with the opportunity to do it, I was like, totally. But they and I would be down to just be involved. But then they were like, we want you to sing in it. And I was like, absolutely. Like, yeah, why not? Like, get to perform at the amazing Ordway Theater in Minneapolis, doing this production and working with them. The director, John De Los Santos, was incredible to work with. And I jumped at the bit to do it. It was so fun.
Well, I can't believe that the people who have played that role in the past, it's like to think about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who apparently I was reading, she's like obsessed with opera. They asked her to do it, I think, at the Met or New York. And to think that you're in that line of women, if you ever had the opportunity or if you could fantasize
to be a Supreme Court justice, no, I would turn it down.
Which Supreme Court justice? God, can you? I mean, like, I can imagine you on the Supreme Court, and we would be lucky to have you. But
I'll just be like, I'll be the objection.
They said this is not that type of court, honey. But
you're like, oh, sorry.
You bring your own hammer. if you could cast an opera with drag queens, do you have an opera in mind, and do you have the queens in mind?
Ooh, let's do the Magic Flute. And for the evil queen who sings the Ajaraca, everyone, I think the evil queen would absolutely have to be Violet Chachki. Such a dramatic role, just Violet on top of this like crazy black widow speak and just singing this intense aria. That is Violet Chachki.
So you agree? You think Violet's evil?
I know Violet is an evil human being, but I love it so much. I love her. The Princess Pamina will be played by Valentina, just so innocent and sweet and kind. The prince who is saving the princess, Tamino, will be played by, let's give it to a drag king, Landon Sider.
Ooh.
Zarastro, who is the counter to the queen, who is the high priest. I think we're going to give that role to Kennedy Davenport, because why not?
She deserves. Just book her on any show.
Just Kennedy just walking up, this all stank, like, Like, I want that. That's what I want for that role. And Papageno, who was like the funny sidekick to the hero, to Tamino, I would give that to Ben de la Creme. I think Ben de la Creme is so funny, and she can make any role sing and joyous and fierce. And I think those are the key players.
The fact that you were able to come up with that so fast is snaps abound. Do you have any advice if like a girl like me or anybody listening does not know a lick about opera? Is there a good entry point for like what should we listen to first, or what should we watch, or what's that?
I think a good jumping in point for new opera goers would be who are musical, like you like music, you know what I mean? You're probably music theater girl, would be La Boheme, because La Boheme is just Rent.
Yeah.
It is just the older version of Rent. So it's a story you could probably follow really, really easily by what's going on. But the thing about the opera version, it gets so intense. Like Mimi is dying from tuberculosis, and it's just like, and you have the arias are just so lush and so beautiful. It's just so romantic. So I feel like you can bring a lot of those same energies and a lot of those same themes from Rent, and you will still be able to feel the story and see the story.
Well, especially for a gay person who needs to do anything new, as long as you relate it back to a Broadway musical, honey, we're fine. Speaking of Rent, there was a video I'm gonna ask you if there's any like Broadway show that you would want to be cast in. But before we get into that, there was a video on TikTok of a person that was cast as Angel in Rent, which is obviously usually like a very high singing part, mm-hmm. vocally a high range. But the person who was cast was giving more of like a Monet baritone bass moment.
Really?
And so yeah, so in the role it was like all options that were like down, but they worked. It didn't sound like bad or
I gotta
gross.
Hear this.
Yeah, I'm gonna send it to you. It's really, and people in the comments were like blowing her up. It was like loving it, because there's, I think when I was growing up, dreaming about being on Broadway and about being this musical theater star, but I would try to sing these like crazy high parts it's that were so not high. In my range. I was yeah. like, I would feel so dejected.
There's no place for you. You feel like there's no place for you.
Yeah. And also what's fucked up is that like, I feel like a lot of singing teachers and programs are like, if you can't do the original key, the original boop, 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 you're fucked. But it's like, if you bring yourself to the role and you have to change something, like I did a show on tour 2014, and they were able to do one of the main songs a step lower, and no one had to fucking know about it. But before that point, I would have thought that it was a huge failure to not be
yeah,
able
like,
to
like,
do
like a big faux pas, like oh, I can't yeah. do the original key, yeah, totally. Yeah.
So it's,
and, you
it's,
know, they have a lot of opera purists out there too that think that way about opera. When if you think about the history of opera, like back in the day, like they used to change keys all the time. But I don't know where it got miscommunicated that it's the standard to do arias in the original key. I'm like, no, bitch, they used to change them all the time. So I don't know where this came from.
Yeah, it's like you're in a fucking creative process, and why make a rule that only hurts you? Like it feels so arbitrary to make
yeah.
these. In any other business, you can move the goalpost if like it benefits the business. So why not do that for the roles? Is there a Broadway show that either, if you would go into like a revival of something old, or if you were to think of something new, is there something that you would be like, oh, I would do an 8-show week on Broadway?
Well, Rent, playing Collins and Rent would definitely one, but I think that I saw recently this production of The Wiz, and I think that The Wizard of Oz should be a drag queen. Mm. Like it's all about like this, like smoke and mirrors and how he's doing all this thing. And I think that the role of the Wiz should be played by a queen. And I went to go and wait again. No, Wayne Brady killed it. So good. Yeah. But if he was stepping out, I would absolutely step in as the drag queen Wiz. It would be so good.
So
like I do the whole thing in drag, blah, blah, blah. And then when they discover that I'm a fake, I'm out of drag. Like I think it would just change the dynamics of the scene. And I think it would just add so much. So that's one I would love to do.
Stunning answer. And also I've been playing on repeat this new production of The Wiz, Be a Lion. The arrangements of that production are crazy. And that, so yeah, the end of Be a Lion, like the way that they,
I'm his a voice, lion.
His voice is incredible. He killed that. He was so good.
I can't stop listening to it. I can't, yeah. it does take me back to like eighth grade when I was just constantly playing the same fucking cast recordings over and over. And I've been doing that with that song in The Wiz. Well, listen, I sadly have to get towards the final stage of this interview, but we need to ask another podcast question that I have not mm-hmm. asked you yet, which is Monet Exchange. If the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Kristen Chenoweth, without a shadow of a doubt. Kristen Chenoweth, I think she is in my opinion, she is truly like America's sweetheart. She seems like such a fun ray of light. Anyone who I've never interacted with her, but anyone who I know has interacted with her, they all say the same thing. She is so sweet. She's so nice. So I think Kristen Chenoweth is truly America's sweetheart. She is America's character actress, and I would save her.
America's character actress. I also agree that some of the character actresses that mean so much to us are people that you love in front of the camera and you can picture kikiing with them behind the camera. And yes. Kristen is that girl. Like
she's that
girl. You know she is the same as she is on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen giving us uh-huh. a random fucking soprano. And then you know she's doing that fucking over brunch or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what she's doing right now? This is turning into a very Broadway episode, but she is doing The Queen of Versailles, which is basically, I don't know if you saw that documentary about this woman who built a insane house in Florida. It's like, and it's basically the Versailles of wherever it is in Florida. And this woman is very outlandish. It's got, you know, a billion bathrooms. I'm not going to remember all the details, but it's this crazy story about this woman who in Florida built Versailles. And there's a musical and Kristen Chenoweth is playing the woman that builds this house. And it just started running like in Boston, I think. And it's probably going to go to Broadway. But Kristen is booked. She's booked and blessed.
She's always booked. I feel like Kristen Chenoweth has not stopped working since I discovered who she was in sixth grade. Like, I feel like she's always working. Busy, busy, busy.
And doesn't she have like a hot younger boyfriend too?
As she should. I'm sure they're not having sex for more than 15 minutes.
Well, that tiny frame, you cannot dick that down more than 11 and a half. I agree. I think Kristen deserves the most. And let's manifest Kristen Chenoweth coming on That's a Gay Ass podcast one day. I think it's going to happen. I also think that she's probably going to get a lot of attention for the Wicked movie coming out. Like people, you know, hopefully she's getting a lot of respect. I know Ariana Grande is obsessed with her. So
yeah,
I think she's going to be very, very busy with all of her bookings because she deserves, but also because Wicked. I don't know if you're saying like for the Olympics, Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande were at the opening ceremonies for the Olympics, and there's the press is going to be pressing.
Oh, for sure. It's probably the most anticipated movie of this year.
Are you going to be there opening day?
I mean, I would listen. I have not been invited yet, but I would absolutely love to be there. I want to see it, and I want to be sitting right next to Cynthia because Cynthia's my girl. We DM. We're friends. I'm like, girl, I want to be sitting right. Like, girl, you kill. I mean, not that she wants me next to her. She's like, bitch, not you. But I would be overjoyed to be there at the premiere in LA or New York. I'll fly to Paris, wherever they'll have me. I'll do it.
You fucking deserve. Well, I will say, Monet Exchange, I was dreaming of meeting you. And now that I have, you have surpassed my very high gay expectations. And I want to thank you for coming on That's a Gay Ass podcast. Tell us, Monet, where to follow you and what you want to plurg.
Yeah, you can follow me on all social media at Monet Exchange. That's M-O-N-E-T, the letter X, the word change. And please watch Monet's Slumber Party. Get me a season 2. And Sibling Rivalry will be at the Balboa Theater in San Diego on August 8th. And I think just like less than 2 weeks. So it's a live taping of our podcast, which is always a hoot. And any chance I get to embarrass Bob in front of a lot of people, I'm all about it.
Well, that podcast is the blueprint, and I am just basking in your podcast royalty. And Monet, this will be the first of many gay-ass conversations, I hope. You're the dream, yeah. Tina.
Thank you so much, darling.
Thank you. Wasn't Monet incredible? I was already obsessed with her, but after the interview, I'm even more obsessed now. And I'm so obsessed with you all for listening all of these seasons. Season 5, the best is yet to come, but I'm beyond grateful to have you here on this gay-ass journey. And before we end the episode, I'd like to introduce a new segment we call The Moment I Knew. And for the first one, here's my mom.
I knew Eric was gay probably by the time he was in middle school. However, I had my suspicions literally from the time he was a very little boy, a toddler. Eric loved, especially when we had babysitters and they would come over, and Eric was completely enamored with doing the babysitter's hair, whether it was braiding it or putting in a ponytail, brushing it. That was a favorite pastime of his. I also knew Eric was gay when I would often catch him doing pirouettes around the kitchen, and we got a kick out of it. But when Eric told me about some dreams that he had had, that's when, again, my curiosity was piqued. He told me he had a dream that he had kissed a boy when he was 7 years old. He also told me that he had a dream that the Tooth Fairy came and she was wearing a poodle skirt. So we got some giggles out of it, but deep in my heart, I think by the time he was in middle school, I was pretty certain that Eric was gay. And honestly, I could not be more proud and more excited that I have a gay son and relish my relationship with him and feel so grateful and thankful that I have the gift of having a gay son.
Thanks, Mom. And if any of you listening think you have a father, mother, or guardian who would like to chime in on the moment they knew you were gay, DM us on Instagram. We're at GayAssPodcast. I'll see you next Wednesday and every Wednesday on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and Patreon. I love you so much, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, hosted by me, Eric Williams. If you want to see and hear more, make sure you're subscribed to us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, or Patreon at Gay Ass Podcast. That's a Gay Ass Podcast is executive produced by Eric Williams and produced by Nathaniel McClure. We'll see you next week.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.